The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. If anyone wants to come forward for a children's chapter. Big children can come too.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm going to show you a picture.
This is the most important man in my life. Good question. Take this, show this to them. Who do you think this is?
It's his father.
Maybe. What do you think? You may have been going for that vibe, I'm not sure. This is from 1933, so you may have been going for that. All right, you've heard people make some guesses. Who do you think this is? That is correct. That is my dad, 1933, so he's about 20 years old. It's the earliest photo that I have of him, given to me by one of my cousins. My dad and one of his sisters went to live with another one of their sisters. So she has information about my dad that I don't have. So I'm sure you have some pictures of your dad, right? That's really interesting. Your dad's still alive, so you can still see him. So you don't need a picture of him. I'm gonna ask your dad. Do you have a picture of your son?
Oh,
of Yoba. Of Yoba, but he's still alive.
A little bit. He's been forever.
Yeah, that kind of happens. So I was really delighted when my cousin sent me this picture because this is not how I remember my dad. Of course, I was not alive back in 1933 or 1943 or 1953. I know him as an older man. He was about 50 when I was young. So it helps me to be able to see him young. It's really difficult sometimes to imagine our parents as being children, isn't it? Can you imagine your dad as a child? Can you imagine what he must have been like when he was your age? Short and stubby? Yeah. Are you short and stubby at his age?
I might have had husky pants.
But it's really strange to think of our parents as being children, right? Once upon a time. And it's strange for some of us to think of our parents even at the age that we were at. You know, can you think what your parents must have been like when they were your age? Yeah. Yeah, you would have known them then.
Yes.
Yeah. Does it help to have pictures of them back then? As you look back? Why does it help to have pictures? To remember the good times, yes. Exactly. And I know as I was going through some things while I was in California, things that I shredded, because I don't need my bank statements from 1979 to 1980, but in there also I found letters from my parents to me that I first moved to California. What do you think I did with them? I did not shred them. I didn't read them. I read one. I couldn't read it right now. I opened one, it was from my dad. Now, my dad may not realize it from this picture. My dad was very much to the point. And I opened it and looked. It's clearly my dad's handwriting. I opened it up, it was a single page, and it simply said, "Dear Anne-Marie," he always called me by my first and middle name, "Dear Anne-Marie, I know you're trying to make a go of it, but I think it's time for you to come home now. Love, Dad." Whole letter. And I'm thinking, yeah, it was a way for him to tell me that he loved me and he was concerned about me because things weren't going well. I was having a great deal of difficulty. So for me, having that letter is also a reminder of how much my dad loved me. And having pictures of him reminds me that there were times when he had difficulties in life. He is at this age, and I know that he is a dad, and he will soon lose his mother. So it helps me to kind of put it into perspective what the life of my parents was like and gives me a better understanding of my own life. As do the letters that I have from them that tell me how much they miss me when I need to get home. One of these days, your parents are going to miss you in a good way, right? No? I'll ask you about that in, let's see, how many more years? Not soon enough, right?
I can tell you the exact date.
How about if we have this conversation in about, 8 years? How's that sound? About 8 years, and we'll see if he misses you then. Thank you so much. let's pray. Good and gracious God, we just thank you for the gift of photographs, letters, other memories that we have of our parents. We thank you for the parents who are still with us, and we ask that you help us to cherish them. And we ask all things in the name of our risen Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you a little bit about my dad. I'm going to tell you a little bit more because it is Father's Day. My dad's name was Enoch, which should tell you something about his family. First, it was that he was child number 10 out of 12 and they were running out of names. But second, that they were a Bible reading family. They were a very much religious family. Enoch, of course, being a character from the Old Testament. One who walked with God. My dad couldn't remember when he was baptized. He came from a Baptist family, so he would have been baptized when he was older. But he remembered, he believed, that he was also baptized again just before he joined the army. Somewhere along the line, he was exploring whether the church in which he was raised was the one in which he wanted to stay. And then he met my mother. And he decided that he wanted to marry her for reasons that I'll never understand. Because the two of them were so dissimilar, I have no idea how they ever thought that they were going to make it work. And yet they did. They made it work until my dad died at the age of 90. Two very dissimilar people, my parents were. But they loved their children. And in a strange sort of way, they loved each other. I didn't understand that sort of love until I watched Fiddler on the Roof. You ever seen that one? Fiddler on the Roof? Yes. As Tevye asked Olga, "Do you love me?" And her response is, "Do I what? Do you love me? Yes, I love you." And then she recounts all the ways that she's loved him. She's cleaned the house. She's cooked his meals. She's done his laundry. She's born his children. Of course, she must love him. And he says, "Well, after 25 years, it's nice to know."
that's the sort of relationship my parents had, a love that grew as time went on. And I know that they loved us children. And I have to say that, you know, as parents, you're not supposed to play favorites. And if you ask, am I your favorite child, what do they say? You're all my favorite children, right? Well, I know that wasn't true. I know that I was my dad's favorite because I most resembled him. The thing that I remember most about my dad is his love of gardening. Some of the earliest images I have of him are out in the yard. He always had the greenest grass, the most well-kept lawn in the neighborhood. He always planted a garden. He planted all sorts of things. Carrots and okra, tomatoes, of course, and zucchini. Doesn't everyone plant tomatoes and zucchini? And my mother would ask us, go out and pick a salad. He loved his garden. He tended it with great care. He even had his own crop of worms that he would go out and feed. He had a big board over the worms, and he'd go out with the table scraps and pull up that board and hear that sucking sound. And he'd spread out all of those treats for his worms, and he would use the worm pieces to enrich his garden. Such care he took with his garden. And I look at the influence that he had on us. Just as he tended his garden, he did his best to tend his family. Just as he spread seeds in his garden, so he spread seeds in his children. And some of those seeds took hold and bore fruit. My dad was forced to leave school because of the death of his father when he was almost 12 years old. They were a sharecropping family in rural Alabama, and he needed to leave school in order to support the rest of the family. And he told me one time how he hated his father for dying on him, because then he knew he would never get the education, he would never become president of the United States. Really, that was what he said. He would never have the education to become president of the United States. But there was going to be a limit in his life to how far he was going to be able to go because he could never have the education. And he made sure to instill that seed in us that we would all be educated. There were five of us children. Five bachelor's degrees, four master's degrees, one professional doctorate. Not bad when you consider that neither of my parents had more than an eighth grade education. He instilled that seed of the love of learning, the understanding that education was going to take us places that he could never go. He also instilled in us a love of music. My dad would sit in his room and play his guitar. He came from Alabama, so it's a guitar. And what he would play would be the old-time tunes. Red River Valley, Birmingham Jail, the old folk tunes. And I would sit and listen to him play and sing along with him. And that just created a deep-seated love of music in me. The one thing I can really say for my dad is he was a man of faith. And he instilled in each one of his children a seed of faith. And he nurtured it the best that he could. He made sure we were in church every single Sunday. Unless we were deathly ill, we were in church. There was nothing that was going to keep us from church. He made sure that we were well educated in the faith. He sent us to Catholic schools because that's what we were. He made sure that we received all the education that we needed. He planted that seed. And it's a delight to look at my family and to see that each of us have remained faithful Christians and attend worship regularly. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus compares the kingdom of God to seeds. He says that a farmer goes out and strews seed. Perhaps he goes out and he sows the seed. And he goes to sleep and he wakes up and goes to sleep and wakes up. And the seed grows. And he doesn't know how. Well, these days we may have more scientific knowledge about how seeds grow. But the reality is that we sow the seeds and the seeds grow. If they have enough nutrients, if they have enough water, if they have enough sunlight, the seeds grow. And then he says, and the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. When I was in California, I saw mustard seeds. There are several different kinds, but the kind that we have in California are weeds. They're pretty weeds, but they're weeds. And they're tenacious weeds. They start out so small, but then they dig down their roots. And the next thing you know, they're 6 feet tall and growing. And the whole yard can be covered with them so quickly. They may not be trees, but they sure make big bushes. And the kingdom of God, I think, is like that. It is like a mustard seed. It digs down its roots. And the next thing you know, it's spread everywhere like a weed. And so I think of the seeds that my dad planted, not only in his garden, but in his garden, the garden of his family, and all of his children. And I think of the seeds that we are called to go and plant elsewhere, the seeds that I planted in my children, the seeds that I plant in my congregations, the seeds of faith that I hope are planted, and that I hope grow and spread like leaves, so that when you go and you spread your seeds, those seeds of faith and those that you meet, they may grow like weeds as well. The strong roots grow tall. Here. Amen. So let us join together in our hymn of the day, Lord be glorified, number 744.